Okay, what I'd like to do in about the next 20 minutes is try to take you visually on a walkthrough of a mine. What I find is that people discuss it, and people like or don't like, and they don't really visualize what's going on. Many people have never seen a mine. So my purpose is just to walk you through some of the major elements, and I typically do this in a Mining 101 course. It takes somewhat longer, so this is like Mining 13 or something. So just for truth in advertising, I'm a visiting professor at UAA, and what happened was the Council of Large Mines gave a grant to the university, and the university was confused enough to hire me. So in case it matters to you where the money comes from, I don't work for the producers, but it's part of truth in advertising. So with that, let me begin. And part of what I also try to do is not put a picture up without telling you what it is. So just as an introduction, this is the mill at Kensington near Juneau. This is the ship loader at Greens Creek. There's no ship there right there. This is just a buoy. And this is the water discharge at Red Dog. Those are the dorms at Red Dog, actually the state's mining lawyer. And should you ever need a mining lawyer, it's always good to have one that goes in the field. So I come from sort of a regulator's background. And so from my perspective, which you'll probably hear, mining is really just a water project with gold as a byproduct or whatever metal. And again, this is the Goodpaster River near the Pogo Mine. This is sort of biomonitoring near Fort Knox. I think that's a burbot eating another fish. My expertise in fishery, by the way, involves white wine sauce. So we're going to talk a little bit about mining. Now, I'm not going to talk about the old-time mining, placer mining, where people that you're probably familiar with, whether on the Porcupine or wherever, where people took gravels in the stream and just sluiced them. This old gentleman was just putting gravel in his sluice box and running water over it. That's not what I'm going to talk about. And that's actually a picture of what my mother thinks I would look like if it wasn't for her. But be that as it may, I'm also probably not going to talk much about open pit mines, because it's really not probably relevant to this area. That, however, is the largest, what they advertise as the largest pit in the world. It's the Bingham Canyon Copper Mine near Salt Lake City. Any of you guys been to Salt Lake City? Okay, well, you drive south on, I think, like I-15, and it's hidden. You can't see it from the road, but I'm pretty sure it's within their boundary because I bet they wanted to tax it. So what I probably will talk about is underground mines. And this is actually the mill, shop, and the portal at Greens Creek. But I'm going to walk you through, really because I have better pictures, the Pogo Gold Mine, which is an underground gold mine 48 miles northeast of Delta Junction. And this is what it looks like in the fall. This is where the ore is. They enter it mostly from this side. Ore comes up here. But this is the layout. Again, you can see where the mining, the camp is. But let's start at the very beginning, just to visualize it. Meredith sort of asked me to, wherever Meredith is, she asked me to treat you like dirt. So let's start like dirt. Let's pretend you're bedrock, actually, and then let's make you into dirt. And that's really the first part of the mining process. It's not the part I care about. The part I care about is water, but you have to understand it. So here's people standing at a face underground. And the loader, of course, can't do much. You just bonk into things. So the first thing they do is drill it. They drill lots of holes, put blasting powder in, usually ANFO, which is ammonium nitrate and fuel oil. And actually, we don't regulate stuff underground, but I was standing over a hole at the User Belly coal mine once, and the engineer from User Belly coal mine said, you know, there's more powder in this hole and we used to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma. And so I took I'm supposed to regulate this. I better go take a course on it. And so we took a couple of courses, and they're totally guy courses. I mean, I'm sure women like them, but if you really like to see things blow up, they're great. I don't have any pictures of blasting underground, but what they're really doing is they're just fluffing it to the point where they can transport it. And sometimes they transport it by a conveyor belt from underground, and sometimes they actually have trucks underground. This is at Greens Creek. And the next thing they do is now, first you were bedrock, then you were like whatever it is, Volkswagens, cantaloupes. Now we're going to make you into sand particles. And this actually is a picture of Fort Knox, but they do smaller versions at other mines. And what they do is the ore goes in here, and it just goes and falls on itself. And the weight crushes it. And if it doesn't come out big enough, they do it small enough, they do it again. And then they'll go, this is two-stage crushing, they'll go into this one, where they actually have steel balls. And the idea is to crush it into something between sand and silt. So why do they do this? Well, imagine that you had a boulder, and you knew that there was gold in it. And you could get it out with some chemicals. So you put chemicals on the outside of the boulder, you could get some. And then you went, well, wait a minute. If I cut it in half, I have new faces to get the chemicals where I can get the gold from, or the zinc or the iron or whatever. So you cut it in half. Then you go, wait, there's other parts I haven't got yet. And so you keep cutting it. Well, that's really why they grind it down to sand or silt size. Because if you get all of the grains where you can work on them, you can get your recovery closer to 100%. So the whole first part of mining is to take you from bedrock to small particles. And that's what this does. There we go. I'm sorry. There we go. And so now, at Fort Knox, they actually then wash some of it, and the gold comes off. But in Greens Creek and Kensington and Pogo, they do something called flotation, where this particular picture, in addition to looking like it's the obvious place for like at the very end of the movie for the bad guys to be shooting at the cops. They have, it's kind of a hard audience. Anyway, they put chemicals in these cells, the ones topped by the yellow mixers, and they mix it up. And counterintuitively, what happens is the bubbles come up to the top, coated with the sulfide minerals, which depending on the deposit are often most of the heavy minerals. And it looks like this. Now, you're hard to tell what it is, but the biggest ones would be about your fist size, the little ones would be about your pinky. And those bubbles have all of typically the sulfide minerals and the heavy metals. So now, that can be more or less efficient depending on the chemistry of the exact ore. But when they sweep it off, they have 1% or 2% or a little less of this sort of combination of what they want, the target minerals and bad actors. And then the rest is that's been cleaned of the heavy metals is tailings. So heads or tails. And I looked it up, and that's not where the saying comes from. So first we have all this stuff that's been cleaned of heavy metals, mostly, depending on the chemistry. It can have more or less. Because often when you're looking at a metal mine, some metal mines are pretty pure. Fort Knox, for example, has gold and really not much else. Red Dog has zinc and lots of other stuff associated with it. So depending on the chemistry of your mine, you can have a mine where you have to worry about dealing with all those other metals, or you can have a mine where you don't particularly. It really depends on the chemistry of that particular ore body, and it's really what a lot of the Kyle and his compatriots will spend time discussing and testing for. But now what we've done is we've separated the target mineral, which in Pogo's case is gold, and the rest of the stuff. Target mineral and most of the heavy sulfide minerals, heavy metals. So let's follow the rest of the stuff. Then we'll follow the gold. And then we'll follow the heavy metals, the sulfide minerals, which aren't gold. And they aren't, it's been cleaned. So they take most of the stuff and they squish it, and I don't have a picture of that, to get most of the water out. And this is called a dry stack. They place it way up in the valley. Now, they don't need a dam for this. This is essentially a landform they're building. And they build that landform. This is just ditches to keep water from running into it. And they just place it with dump trucks. Sometimes they compact it. Here is another picture. And if you see this picture, you'll notice that it's compacted enough that we're not leaving footprints. We're not really leaving tire prints, although those are the tracks of the cats and the bulldozers. So that is left there, and eventually it will be crowned, so water will run off it. It's relatively impervious because it's packed down and all these very small, and it'll be left there as a landform. Stuff will grow on it, and that'll be that. Now, depending on the chemistry, you could have drainage come from that. Hopefully not much drainage because it's not pervious, and you've crowned it to make the water run off. But you could have a little bit of drainage, which is either not bad or it could have some metals in it. But remember, most of the metals have been cleaned of this part. So now we have the other stuff with all the bad actors and heavy metals, and gold in this case. Now, for Red Dog, it's not gold, but for Pogo it is. And so they mix it with cyanide. Now, cyanide is not used in this way in all mines. It's not used in this way in Kensington or Greens Creek, but for gold mines it often is. And what they do, this is actually outside where I get a better picture rather than at Pogo. So this is Fort Knox again. They mix it with dilute. They call it dilute. It'll still kill you. And they just mix it, and it goes through these tanks like this, mixing up. And the gold takes the cyanide from most of the heavy metal mixture. And then you have this water and other stuff. So I'm sorry, most of the water has cyanide and now gold. They take it through another process, take the gold out, put the water and cyanide back here, and they start the process over again. And the cyanide is recycled. I'm going to go through cyanide in a minute. But cyanide has a bad rep. So everybody wants to talk about cyanide, so let's just do it, okay? So remember, we've taken one part of waste streams, stuff that's had the metals taken out, put that in a dry stack. We'll have the gold we've taken from the rest of the stuff, and now we'll deal with the rest of the stuff we'll deal with in a sec. But let's talk about cyanide. Cyanide has a bad attitude. Has a bad rep in literature. These are the cufflinks, which, like James Bond, will swallow the cyanide if the Russians get him. And it has a bad rep because, of course, it will kill you. Any of you know what the word cyanose means? Like anybody in nurse or doctor? Well, cyanose is the blue of your lips, and I assume it comes from the same root because. What cyanide does is it interferes, I believe, with the enzyme that allows your cells to uptake oxygen. So you can suffocate in the presence of air. And you can do so in low concentrations. That's for 200 parts per billion is drinking water, and less for fish. Now, you can ingest it, you can absorb it, you can inhale it. So I was walking through the mill at Illinois Creek with a cup of coffee, something like this, only coffee. And I was an inspector at the time. The mill manager, with great glee, runs over, grabs the cup, throws it out, and he says, "You idiot." And I run this mill to have no cyanide at all in the air. But if there was some, it would dissolve in your coffee. And what kind of idiot drinks coffee in a mill? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I agreed. I was an idiot. And we went on. So it's a dangerous chemical, but the human body will naturally detox and excrete it. So it does not accumulate, doesn't biomagnify. For those of you who are paying attention in high school chemistry, it is this, CN, carbon and nitrogen. That's it. So it breaks down relatively easily to generally harmless products, depending on the chemistry of the situation, not always. But in most situations, it breaks down into harmless products. It doesn't, if you get some in your body, if you don't die, you excrete it, and you're fine. It's a relatively common industrial chemistry. Don't ask me where it's used in food processing or table salt, but it is. It comes from natural sources, breaks down easily, there we go. It's dangerous. It's a typically common industrial chemical. So what I want to follow now is the gold. So we've now taken the gold out of that water stream. It Fort Knox, they, I'm sorry, at Fort Knox, they pour about twice a week. And this is what they pour. If you get to, this is a gold button at Illinois Creek. If you get to carry one, doesn't matter whether you like gold or don't like gold, you will, you smile, right? You're carrying like $200,000, and it's kind of amusing. So let me go back to Pogo. Now what they did is we had one stream we put up in the valley. We had one stream, which becomes gold. What do we do with the rest of the stuff, which is most of the bad actors? Well, at Pogo, what they do is they put, they mix it with cement and put it back underground where in where they took it out of. So Pogo is a relatively clean mine, and I don't mean to say all mines are that way, but I'm trying to give you a sense of what they are. Because, you know, God put this stuff underground in the rock. We took it out. We cleaned it of most, but not all, the heavy minerals. Put that on the surface. Put all the heavy minerals back in concrete, back where it was. And so it's a relatively clean method. Now, not all mines discharge, but Pogo does. They discharge in right in here. This is the Good Pastor River. It's the Good Pastor River. And what they do is they can't quite meet water quality standards with our water treatment plant. So they put it right in here, and they mix it. This is water that just comes naturally from the Good Pastor. They mix it in this pond so it meets water quality standards, so it goes out in the river meeting water quality standards. They didn't propose that. The regulators forced that on them because this is very easy for us to monitor. It's very easy if, you know, you increase the misting rate if they have a problem, etc. But I want to quickly go through, before Margaret cuts me off, tailings dams. In some places, they take that, they take all of the tailings, and they put it out in a lake. That's what they do at Fort Knox. In some places, that lake is close to water quality standards. Some places, it's not, depending on the chemistry of your mine. And it's held up by a dam. Now, Dave will talk to you about tailings dams. This is the dam at Fort Knox. They don't have any at Pogo. And at Fort Knox, all of this water, actually, all of the water from the mine site has to leave through here. That it's the only hydraulic exit to the valley, both surface and underneath the dam. So that dam leaks. So some of this water, and now this water here is close to water quality standards, but at many mines it may not be. So what do they do with that leaking water? Well, here is what water would do downstream of the dam before the dam was there. It flows downhill, right? Here's the water table, bedrock, it flows slower. That's why they're dotted lines. But at Fort Knox, they put up a humpback well in, and they pump really hard. And that creates, it lowers the water table right there, so all of a sudden the water is flowing there. It flows, it's like a fence, if you will, if you put a bunch of them. And then they pump it back in. So they've created an artificial low spot downstream of the dam where the water comes in, and they pump it back. And so that's how they keep the tailings water out of the environment while they're mining. This is a view from the top of the dam, and you can see these are all the all those pump back wells. And the white brings it back to the pump house. The black brings it back where it goes into the water. Then Fish and Game monitors it downstream. I'm not going to go into that. But I do want you to do one thing, which will just take about a minute, Margaret. I want to just tell you what Greens Creek looks like. Greens Creek. Greens Creek looks like. This is the mill, the shop, the attic where they go in and out. This actually is Greens Creek right here, the creek itself, which is anadromous. I don't know where the anadromous section stops. This is a same shot of the same thing. This is one of their waste rock piles. They're dry stack tailings. Now, in Pogo, they put it up in a valley. At Greens Creek, it's out on the flats, if you will, by Hawk Inlet. And the ship loader site. There's a ship there. Here's some dorms. What was I showing you before that? I don't know. Same one. And the last, that's me at some of the reclamation at Illinois Creek. But I'm cheating. Anyone want to guess how I'm cheating? I'm on my knees. Very good. I am on my knees. Although they did a good job of the reclamation at the waste dump still in my creek. So how did I do?
You did great, Bob. Thank you. 30 seconds over.
That was very fast. And I actually like to do that in about 40 minutes more. So if some of it seemed confusing, it should. But thank you. And
thank you, Bob.
There you go. So I should switch so you can...
All right, that was Bob Loeffler, visiting professor of public policy, UAA Institute of Social and Economic Research.